Hello, this is Eight Podcast. I'm Ronan Connolly. This month, we're meeting Simon Fagan, a classically trained musician from Navan, County Meath. Simon's music could be described as acoustic rock with elements of gospel and folk. We'll listen to four songs, one of which, Never Really Cried, picked up best performance at this year's International Songwriting Competition from more than 15,000 entries. I chatted to Simon about his debut album, Outside Looking In, as well as about using a whip in the recording studio and buying Viagra in Egypt. But I began by asking him how he got involved in music and if he came from a musical family.
Yeah, our house was always a house where we were encouraged to get up and do a party piece if there were relations over, particularly at Christmas time and family occasions like that. We would get up and we'd all have a party piece, you know. Mine was to sing, and one of the other boys was to tell a story, and another one was to recite poetry, you know. So it was always, the whole performance thing was always encouraged from an early age in our house.
So the trumpet became your instrument, is that it, at the start at least?
Yeah, no, it became my prime focus. The idea initially was to become a classical trumpeter in an orchestra, but then as I kind of progressed in my studies, I realized that, you know, that I always wanted to be involved in music in one way or another, but I wasn't too sure what it was in particular I wanted to do. So it was then that I actually realized my real love was actually writing and performing my own material. And I suppose it could be argued that I may never have come to that realization if I hadn't pursued the studies on the trumpet, you know. So I'm glad that I did.
Well, Simon, it's time we listen to a first song, and we have selected the song Water's Edge. It's got definitely a gospel feel to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does. It opens up with an a cappella, three-part harmony. It's very much nearly a gospel melody on it that runs throughout the track. And it was actually said to me by a friend of mine, there's a kind of Paul Simon feel to it as well, you know?
Hold my hand through this
That was the song Water's Edge, taken from Simon's 2010 album, Outside Looking In. So Simon, you finished in the Royal Academy of Music and Drama in Glasgow. What was the next step then for Simon Fagan?
At that stage, I came home and I wasn't quite sure where I was going at all, you know. I'd trained as a trumpet player and I'd come to the realization that, you know what, there aren't many jobs as a trumpet player. There are three trumpet jobs in an orchestra. So, it's pretty tough to actually get a full-time position. I was also contemplating whether I'd freelance, which I did for a while. But it was at that point in my life that I realized, this is what I want to do. I want to write songs. And I started really concentrating on kind of writing songs. And for me as well, it was nearly like starting a new apprenticeship for me, because it was a completely different angle in music I was coming from. I'd always been writing songs, but not at this level, you know. So it was nearly going back to basics and really, you know, kind of awakening my natural feel for melody, and coming from a kind of very formal background and training and reading the music in front of you, I was quite surprised that it came so quickly, you know, and it came so naturally for me. At that point, I was really just finding myself, and as I say, you know, it was like an apprenticeship for me, just really writing, finding my style as well. That was a big one for me, because I suppose I had quite a few tools in my bag, so to speak. And it was basically, I found myself, it was the best way I could describe it, I suppose, was, you know, if you're driving your car and you get a puncture, you know, and you jack it up, and, you know, the right tool is to have a wheel brace to open the nuts. You know, I found myself pulling out a screwdriver, trying to take the nuts off of the screwdriver, and I was like, whoa, this is completely wrong, you know? So I had to try different things before, I suppose, I got the right, I got the right sound, and I found that wheel brace and eventually got the puncture sorted. So that stage of my life, yeah, it was really all about finding my own sound and my own style.
Well, Simon, we're going to listen to another song, and this is one of your singles. This is Damn Honey. Tell me about this song before we all listen to it.
Yeah, I was out with a friend of mine, and there was this girl in the nightclub. She was a striking looking girl, to say the least of it, but every guy in the place wanted to speak to her, you know. I found it amusing, the fact that, you know, she really knew what was going on, and she was really playing up to it. And I went home that night, and I wrote down the lyric, "Damn honey, you got it all going on tonight." So that's really what's behind the song.
And then the video. Tell me about that. What's the story there?
Yeah, we shot it in a seaside town called Bray in North County Dublin. Well, it's actually County Wicklow, but suburbs of Dublin. And we shot it outside a chippers and a chip shop. So it's given off the message of like a typical Irish Saturday night out.
Yeah.
where you have you know, it's nearly a ritual here in Ireland for you. If you go out for a few beers on a Saturday night, you're going to end up in a chip shop and getting some food for yourself. And so we shot it in the chippers to try and capture all the different stories of the night. So that's really what's behind it, you know.
And did you ever tell the girl you wrote it about?
No, I never. I didn't really have the guts to go up and speak to her that night. So if I do see her, I'll be sure to thank her for the inspiration.
Patterns on the wall when there's no one talking. Junior's at the ball with a girl he's stalking. I don't know anybody gets around like you.
She's talking like an angel and biting like a devil. When she's caught in a corner made of stone or metal, with nowhere else to turn. Damn, honey, got it all going on tonight. Damn, honey, got it all going on tonight. Times are changing, but the habits ain't breaking. Love lost trust in a word that's taken her this far. She got caught in a moment and still come further. Learn to run or die for another cause. Ain't worth a second thought.
That was the song Damn Honey, taken from Simon's album Outside Looking In. Let's talk a little bit about the debut album Outside Looking In.
Sure, yeah. I had all the songs written, and at this stage I had a permanent band in place, which was really the key to actually finding the sound on the record, you know. The fact that I had the same musicians to work with on a regular basis, really, you know, that really helped. And we went to Egypt and we did a 2-week tour in Egypt, which really, we were playing the songs and we were doing about a 3-hour set each night. That really cemented the entire band and the entire sound together. And I suppose put us in great position to actually go in and record the album. So we went in. The tour in Egypt was in October, November, 2009, and then recorded the album. Then started it in the end of January, beginning of February 2010. So we basically went in and we spent about a week in pre-production, and then we went into the studio with Martin Quinn, who co-produced the record with myself. And we spent in total about the guts of about, I suppose, 3 to 4 weeks.
And where does the title for the album come from?
Well, one of the tracks is called Outside Looking In, and the story behind the title is comes from my grandmother, who has passed away since. She actually lived with us when I was growing up, so it was as though I had two mums in the house. Obviously, we were all very close to her, you know. But she had this saying when we got a bit older and we started bringing girlfriends back to the house. She didn't approve of the girl in question. She would always have the saying, she might look in, but she'll never look out. And it's, I suppose, a really Irish, kind of old Irish proverb. But it always stuck with me, and I thought it was fitting for my debut album, that it was a little wink to her, just saying thanks for all the happy years that she gave us, you know. So Outside Looking In was her old phrase, and I thought it'd be nice to write a song and call the album Outside Looking In.
Yeah, that's lovely. It's quite a clever little put down, isn't it?
It even still makes me laugh, you know. The fact that she would make a statement, you know, it's so Irish, it's funny, you know, but she'll look in, but she'll never look out, you know, it's very clever.
Would you be able to list the instruments used on the albums or the ones that you play?
Yeah, well, I play guitar. I obviously do all the vocals. What else do I do? Trumpet, trombone, play some of the piano. Play some of the a lot of the percussion on the big samba drums and Water's Edge as well, some of the Hammond as well. What else? I'm trying to think, there's so much on it, but I the whip as well. I do the whip on Love Don't Work.
What's the whip?
There's a whip noise on Love Don't Work. It was funny because we couldn't get a whip, and we went around asking everyone, does anyone have a whip, and there was no one that could come up with a whip. So what I did was I got a garden hose, and I cut about three feet off the garden hose, and I brought it in, and I swirled when we hit it, it wasn't producing the actual sound. It was only kind of a slap, and it wasn't what we were looking for. We wanted a we recorded it in two different segments. The first one was I basically swirled the pipe around my head, creating that, and then I got a wheelbarrow, and a plastic wheelbarrow, and I brought it into the studio, and I turned it upside down. And I gave it the hardest hit I could possibly give it with the pipe. So we put the two of them together, and what we got was the whip noise, and it works really well. It's a, you know, so a lot of reverb and a lot of tweaking on it, but we got there, you know.
Excellent. I find it hard to believe no one had a whip in Navan. But
well, you know what, Ronan? I know, so do I. So do I. So the funny thing was, I know a lot of people who are into horses, and they all had short whips, but they were all padded. And so if you're looking for a crack, it wouldn't give it to you, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm sure it might hurt you if you were to slap someone with it, but it wasn't the sound that we were looking for.
Yeah, and then I also understand some people might have had a whip and they just didn't want to say it, and that's okay too. I can understand that.
Possibly, yeah.
Moonlight shines tonight your way. Morning come, wash it all away. Oh, but baby, I never really cried for you. You were lost inside your world. Tried to help, I was ignored. Oh, but baby,
I never really cried for you.
Do you enjoy live performance?
Yeah, I live for live performance. I think, again, when you speak about lyric writing, as I mentioned, you have to be true to yourself. I think you also have to be true to yourself when you're performing on the stage. I think you have to give yourself up to the music whilst entertaining the people that are in front of you and that have paid good money to see you. I think you owe them that. I think that's your job. But also to be true to yourself in a way that you let your own personality shine through. People aren't stupid. You know, people are very, very clever. And if you're up on the stage trying to pretend to be something that you're not, you're going to be caught out very, very quickly. And I think the thing is not to try to analyze live performance, because once you start analyzing it and picking out little things, obviously you have to look at how you could improve your performance, but I think it's important to have that naturalness in your performance, and people appreciate that because you're being true to yourself. They can see that you are with one with your music. So performance, I think, is just an art in itself, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Funny, I suspected you might mention Egypt, and I saw some of your blogs. I thought it was funny seeing your story about being harassed into buying Viagra, which you can briefly tell.
I knew you were going to bring this up. do you want to hear the story?
Of course, yeah. It's not right, just okay. Me, though, you know. Everyone wants to.
Right, well, we were basically, we were in, I think it was Dahab we were in, and we were due to catch a plane up to Cairo, and it was extremely warm, very, very dry heat, and I had no water, and I said to the guys, the plan was we were going to be getting the bus from the hotel, and the bus was bringing us to the airport, where we were due to catch the flight up to Cairo. So I said to the guys when we were making our way to the bus, I said, listen, I got to go to a shop and get some water. I have no water. And the guys said, fine, right, we'll meet you back at the bus in a few minutes and we'll head on. And I said, great, okay. So I took a stroll anyway, and I was walking down one of the streets, and this big Egyptian man seemed to appear from nowhere and called me over, and I suppose the biggest mistake that I did was actually going over to him, and he literally led me down an alleyway through a shop, and then in through another alleyway and through another shop, and basically brought me into this kind of little shack, which was his own shop. And I was kind of going, oh my God, where am I, you know? So there was a little guy about maybe 12, 13 years of age, sitting in the shop. So I said, well, at least I'm not entirely on my own. So he started, he introduced himself as Dr. Love. Dr. Lovett was his name. And he said that he had any aftershaves or perfume one might want at all, and he started showing me all different kind of Armani and all these Lacoste and all these good aftershaves. So I was looking at my watch, and I was like, have you got any water? And he gave me a glass of water. Well, I was really looking for a bottle of water, but I didn't want to argue with him, but he gave me a glass of water anyway. So I drank the water, and I was trying to explain to him that I was in quite a rush and that I'd a plane to catch. And he says, no, you must sit down. So this guy is towering over me. So I sit down anyway. And he said, let me tell you, I've got three wives, three very happy women. I make love to them every night. And at this stage, the little guy in the corner starts laughing, which ended up being his nephew. And so he tells the little guy to get out because he was laughing at him. And he continues on anyway, and tells me the way he had his three wives, very happy women, that he made love to them every time and every night. And he said the reason why he was able to do this at his age was because he used liquid Viagra. And at that point, he produced this bottle of blue liquid, and he opens it up, and he swipes one swipe on one cheek, and the on the other cheek as well, he swipes. And then he says, you must swipe two swipes on either side of your face, and you must swipe the banana. And he makes a gesture towards the nether regions, and so that was his banana. So anyway, to make a long story short, I basically, for fearing of my life and basically messing my side, I had to buy the liquid Viagra with fake Armani aftershave, and I basically ran for the bus, which while at this stage the boys were at the bus and they were ready to send out a search party for me. So we jumped in the bus and we fly up to the airport, and we just about caught the flight, but the tale is there, he told, you know. So the liquid Viagra and Dr. Lovett and his banana. Thank you very much if you're listening.
I won't ask as to whether you used it or not, but I hope for your sake it didn't. Well, Simon, it was a pleasure talking to you, so thanks very much for your time.
Ronan, thank you very much. It was fun.
Simon will be playing this month in Toronto for Indie Week, and then later in October he's in New York for the CMJ Marathon. More details on our blog, newirishmusic.wordpress.com, and you'll also find out more about Simon at simonfagan.net. You'll find him on iTunes and on MySpace. We'll be back very soon with an H10 podcast, which is 10 minutes of music and chat, and we're featuring the wonderful band Hal next week. If you'd like to contact H Podcast and keep abreast of our downloads, then make sure to find us on Facebook, and don't be afraid to drop us a message too. I'm Ronan Connolly, and thanks for listening.
Get stuck.